Good morning. James, the first chapter, we got up right up to this in our Sunday morning class of James. And James says in verses 19 and 20, says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Such sound, not that every bit of the Bible is God inspired, but what sound words that if we did these, if we were able to do these two verses a little bit better, how much better we would portray ourselves as Christians. Not only portray ourselves, but open ourselves up for growth as a Christian. It starts off swift to hear, to be swift to hear. Who is it that we're supposed to be swift to hear? Well, one, each other. One, to listen to each other. When we're talking, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you don't even get your sentence out and they're jumping in? It has nothing to do with what you're saying. It's what they want to react to. Fred and Jerry, you guys, saying you're both pointing at each other. We listen to each other. Bet you guys listen to a lot of each other over the years being married, huh? You listen to each other. That's how you grow a relationship. Is not by necessarily talking, but by listening. Be swift to hear. To hear each other. To truly hear. Not just the words, but to hear them. People say an awful lot, sometimes with very few words. They're saying lots, but we have to be swift to hear them, to actually hear what it is they're saying, and swift to hear God's word. There's equally amount of people that are not only not very eager to listen to others, but they're not eager to listen to God's word. Yeah, I know it. I've heard that. Yeah, I know what you're talking. Truly listen to God's word. And just like people, God can say an awful lot sometimes with very few words if we're listening. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we're familiar with, or many of us are familiar with this passage. It says, all scripture. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's ladies that went to the ladies' Bible class, I think you guys used this last Friday because it was about the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. So if there is anything worth listening to, scripture is worth listening to. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to be swift to hear, not only each other. It builds for a better friendship. It builds for a better marriage. It builds for a better relationship at work to be swift to hear, truly hear. But it also makes for a better Christian. In Matthew 11, verse 15, Jesus said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got ears to hear, you need to listen up to this. Jesus uses this basic phrase, I counted 18 times in the New Testament. 18 times it is recorded that Jesus basically says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The gospel according to Coach Smith. Coach Smith used to say, if I say something, it's important. I don't just waste my breath. If I say it, it's important. If I repeat it, it's really important. Jesus said this 18 times for us to listen and listen tight, to make sure we don't miss it. Why? Why be swift to hear? One, it validates the other person that we're listening to. If we're in a conversation, Jory and I are at lunch and we're talking and he's talking to me and I'm watching the big screen TV football game and he's yapping away and I'm not listening to him. Or he's saying, have you ever seen two people be talking to each other about two totally different things? They're both talking at the same time. They're just yapping away. They're getting it said, but they're not getting any listening in. There's a lot of talking going on, but not a lot of listening. It validates that person for you to... How many people, we all, have a story? And it validates them to listen to them about a health issue they've got or have had or a trial that they are going through or a problem in their life. You may not be able to fix it, but you know what? You can validate them by being aware that they're going through it. And that alone is worth listening to them. It validates them to understand, not just hear the words, to get it, to fully listen to that individual. In Exodus 3, this is when Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he is speaking to Moses through the burning bush. And it says, and the Lord said, and I'm pretty sure Moses probably paid attention to this. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I wonder how long those people wondered, is God even aware of us? The situation we're in Egypt, has he totally forgotten about us? They've been in bondage for 400 years. Does he even know who we are? God told Moses, I know. And he is going to be able to tell those people that they've been validated. Their cries have not gone without being listened to. Their prayers, their concerns, God is aware. We're told to be slow to speak. Man, isn't it easy to sometimes get it mixed around? Now, does it say quick to speak and slow to hear or slow to hear? Isn't this sometimes easy to do? Slow to, you know, slow to speak. Why to process? If you've truly listened, if you've truly been swift to hear somebody, you need to process what it is they've said. Whether it's each other or God. We need to process. We need to be able to make the proper response. A lot of times, I jump in feet first before I've even heard the full story. Isn't that easy to do? Another thing, being slow to speak, we can't take anything back that we say. You make sure that what it is we do say, it's what you want to say. Say what you mean and mean what you say. How many times have you ever, sir, have you ever said this? Well, I didn't mean it. You meant it. Your mouth does not engage separately from your brain. I did not mean that. Yes, you meant it. You may be sorry that you said it. You may, it may not be accurate. You can tell the married couples. You can tell that we're getting some elbows going on here. Look, you know, we got as much elbows as roller derby. Married couples, I hope you're listening to this. Coming up in June, our anniversary. 7 happy years. Been married 32, but 7 happy ones. That never fails to get a laugh. Never. 32 years. We've had to do a lot of listening. We've had to. We've had to, young couples, be slow to speak. Because you can't take anything back. In the 32 years of the listening and speaking, there's been some things said that couldn't be taken back. Can be repented for. They can be repented for. And I forgive her for all those things. I really do. Man, am I going to get it today. Young couples, you can't take anything back. There's been times that it's been rolling off my, and I've just wanted to grab it. You can't take anything back. James says, be slow to speak. Doesn't mean to talk slow. Be slow to respond. Titus 2:8. In all things, Paul is telling his beloved Titus, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity. Reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. In doctrine, you have integrity and hold true to doctrine. But have sound speech. Don't conduct yourself in a way that your speech will shoot yourself in the foot for the things you're trying to accomplish. You be of sound speech that will open the door for the gospel, not slam it in somebody's face. Because a lot of times the first impression people have of us is the way we speak. And we are told to be slow to wrath. A couple questions I would like to propose is, one, what good does wrath bring? This is a question I've asked myself. I have not always followed this, I could come to wrath fairly quick at times in my life. And I ask myself, what good does it bring? So I was able to go from 0 to 60 that fast with a temper. A temper that was about as short as my hair. What good is that? What does it do? What positive does it bring? And what do we get mad over? Now, I tell you, over doctrine, truth, the line in the sand is drawn. I'm not budging when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to defending the church, defending His Word, defending God. The line in the sand's there. I ain't budging on that. But I look at, what do I get mad over? Road rage, people pulling in front of you, pulling up the shoulder to advance along the people and then slide in at the end. Is that what you're going to waste your energies and anger over? Over that? A line in the restaurant? I don't know what. I hate crowds. Am I going to waste my energy and be just a horse's backside over worldly things like that? And then want to preach the gospel to somebody? How is that going to open the door to people? Proverbs 14, verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Says it all. Says it all right there. Proverbs 15, the very next chapter, verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Takes it away, it neutralizes it. If there's contentions among people, somebody that's quick to anger, all it does is add fuel to the fire. Stirs it up. But by a calm nature and slow to wrath, you can remove that contention. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. At that period of time, armies were what was considered mighty. Armed soldiers, that's what was mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. If you can control yourself, you're stronger than an army who can take a city. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. I love that. Ephesians 4, verse 26, Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, be angry and do not sin. There's the key. Don't sin. You can get upset. You can, there's things to, look at what Jesus got upset over. At the conduct in the temple, perverting God's word, twisting and making sport and mockery of God's temple. Jesus got angry at that. Ran people out. Turned tables over. We know that Jesus did not sin. I'm not advocating us to go run around, turn tables over and stuff like that. But be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We don't know when our last sundown will be. We don't know when somebody else's last sundown will be. Wouldn't it be sad that the last thing you did was have a big argument with somebody? Or say things that you couldn't take back? Or to say something, not only could you not take it back, you don't have an opportunity to repent and correct it with that person. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We don't want wrath. Wrath has no really place in our lives. We need control of our lives. And it ends up in James, the 20th verse, where it says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." When we are a wrathful individual, a person that can go to that 0 to 60 really quick, we're not displaying to God the conduct that is becoming of us. It's not becoming of a Christian. We're not teaching others. There are eyes on us, not just little eyes. Moms and dads, there's not just little eyes on us, but there's eyes of each other watching us. And the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The lesson is yours. We looked at two verses from James, very practical, very a passage. In fact, the whole book of James is, if we could live more by those, we would be better off as Christians and as people. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to repent of sin, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you've been looking for a church home, looking at some different churches of Christ in the valley, and you would like to work here with us, we encourage you. Identify with us and work with us. Jump in feet first. If you need prayers of the congregation, we would love to go to our God in prayer on your behalf. Whatever your need, if you'd bring your request forward, come forward and let us know what we can do for you while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.